And the pitch is swung on, and that's hit deep to right field. That is way back, and that ball is history. A no-doubter for Josh Smith.
Eric Nadel with the call. Final hour, fist pump time. I see Carter getting it.
Oh, showing up a little late, huh?
No, he's been here.
Oh.
There's a finger for you back there as well. Yeah. We got a
couple of them.
Wow. Yes, we have Chris Strong in for Peyton. Peyton will be back from Italy tomorrow. Sean Treve, RJ Choppy, and Bobby Belt on the home of the World Series champs and all of your all-star coverage with the Home Run Derby tonight. I have odds.
Oh, baby, let's hear them.
If you want to bet this thing, bet online. Choppy will give you the best value Home Run Derby odds. The favorite to win this, Ralph, is?
Pete Alonso.
He is at 3-1. Followed by Bobby
Adolis.
Did you read my email?
No.
Yes, you did.
Is it really Adolis?
Adolis is tied with someone else.
Is he tied with Gunner?
No.
Is he tied with Alex Baum?
No. Right league.
All right. NL.
Ozuna.
Yes. Adolis and Ozuna are 4-1. Alonso 3-1. Gunner's next at 11-2. That's plus 550. Then Bobby Witt Jr. 7-1, Jose Ramirez at 10-1, Teoscar at 12-1, Baum 16-1. Those are the odds for the Derby this evening.
You know, Pete Alonso has shown that he's a really tremendous Home Run Derby participant because he goes to all fields. Judge did that back when he won it, right? It's because all these pitches are not going to be perfect. If you're just going to go and try to be a pull hitter with it, that's why I think Adolis has got a really good chance to win this too. Because a lot of his home runs go to right center. And if you're just trying to pull the ball, you're not going to win this thing. You have to, because not all these pitches are going to be inside. You're going to have to go with them. And with it being timed, if it was the old way with Josh Hamilton, you just wait for your pitch. But because it's a timed event, you've got to be able to go the other way in order to maximize your opportunity.
What are the changes again? And do you think they're for the better? By the way, Corey Seager added to the All-Star team with Jose Altuve being a little coward chicken again, not participating since 2018 as he's ducking Arlington.
So the way the rules changed this year is hitters used to see just three, or I think it was 4 minutes. You said 4 minutes to hit. Now it's 40 pitches or 3 minutes, whichever comes first. All right. Now there's also if you hit two balls 440 feet or further, you get a bonus. I think that's untimed, and I think it's just a certain amount of pitches. The finals will be 2 minutes or 27 pitches, whichever comes first. So you still, yeah, you're going to get your guaranteed amount of minutes, but you may only see 30 pitches. You may see 40 in 2 minutes. It depends on how fast you go.
And we don't get knockout style till the semifinals.
Right, so now it's just going to be knockout style. It used to be you would have matchups, so 1 versus 8. And now it's just going to be the top four advance, which I think is the way to go.
Yeah, and then from there with the final four, then it's they knock match out. Up against each other.
And by the way, in the MLB draft last night, Malcolm Moore from Stanford is a catcher that the Rangers selected. And then Choppy, they drafted a Tennessee Vol in round two.
Dylan Dreiling, who was the most outstanding player of the College World Series this year. He had a tremendous College World Series. Big hits left and right. Big home run in the clincher against Texas A&M. For the year, he had a .341 average, .459 on base. His OPS was .1174, 25 homers in what, 246 at-bats. So he was really, really, really good this year. He's a good player.
The most outstanding player of the College World Series. Ooh. After he homered in all three championship games.
Sandler with the best players to have been taken 30th overall in Major League history. Mike Schmidt. Ooh. David Wells.
Ooh.
Travis Fryman.
Okay.
And Brian Jordan.
The two-way player.
Two sports star.
All went 30.
Former Texas Ranger, too. Brian Jordan played here for half a season or whatever it was.
So those are the odds to bet on the Derby. They nailed it with the number one pick last night in Vegas. Travis Bazana. Is it Bazana? Bazana.
Bazana from Oregon State. First second baseman and first Australian to be drafted number one overall. And Oregon State, because they had Adley Rutschman be the number one pick a couple years ago, who was also on the football team. He was a kicker. Oregon State, out of all schools, Oregon State has two number one picks in the last, 6 years or whatever? That's pretty cool for them.
877-881-1053 is the Franklin Franco Injury Attorney text line.
And, you know, Cam Caminiti was drafted.
Ooh.
The nephew of Ken. Now, you never met Ken. Ken passed away before Cam was born. It makes you feel old, doesn't it? But the amount of former major leaguers that have been in these drafts, the sons or nephews or brothers of former major leaguers, is absolutely wild to me.
Yeah, well, it has really become more than... For a while there, football went through a run of it where it was kind of a legacy sport where the kids of former NFL players were coming to the draft. But it has become just like rampant, it feels like, in baseball lately.
It's the reason is because of the money. Baseball has become such a sport of the rich. It really has. That these guys who are former major leaguers, I mean, they have all the ability, and they don't even need. Like Gary Sheffield's kid, Manny Ramirez's kid. So Manny Ramirez's kid's committed to Tennessee, but he's in the draft, obviously. Do you think Manny Ramirez needs to pay for a hitting lesson?
Right.
Right? I do, but Manny doesn't. And, you know, you pay for all these, you know, coaches and training.
Bassett don't give you any discount?
Mr. Bassett does give us a little discount.
Okay.
Yes, he does. He does give us a little discount. And we're grateful for that.
And then speaking of betting, you have the rookies of the year for the NBA and WNBA. As Dawn said, how much WNBA did you talk last week?
Tons.
Did you?
Yeah. I mean, like,
Chris?
It was 6, 7, 8, and 9 every morning.
It was minimal.
Did they talk more minimal. WNBA or Bronny?
More Bronny for sure. I think there are 3 segments for Bronny.
I genuinely don't think we talked Bronny one time last week.
Not once?
Not once.
And Chris just said 3.
Yeah, I don't think... Chris, we had it in the rundown a few different days. I don't think we actually got to it a single day.
There
you
go.
We talked more WNBA. I'm serious.
Yeah. So, Caitlin Clark...
Is she a follow a hater or...
I mean, you know, Eric, he's not a hater of anything. He's Mr. Go with the flow. Like,
everyone thrives.
Yeah, these ladies are so impressive.
Caitlin Clark is the prohibitive favorite for the Rookie of the Year in the WNBA, minus 360.
Thumbs up or thumbs down to that, Reggie? If he's listening, Caitlin Clark is the Rookie of the Year favorite. Thumbs up? Yeah, he says yes.
Oh, see, Reggie doesn't know what he's talking about. He doesn't even follow women's basketball. Angel Reese. It should be Angel Reese. She's just...
The eye of the shot you just got from Reggie. Looking up from that.
Angel Reese averaging a double-double. Dawn Staley putting Angel Reese says she should be the Rookie of the Year. But...
Staley said that Angel Reese should be.
Angel Reese should be.
And now, they said, like, New York, like, threw the quadruple team at her to stop her from the double-double streak.
Yep, she ended the game with 8 and 10 or whatever, but... look, if you want to have Angel, if you want to have Caitlin Clark as the favorite, fine. Not going to argue with that. But to have her as an 80% implied odds to win, that seems a bit much. Because Angel Reese had a really, really good year, set the record for double doubles. And in the NBA,
but look, it's 13-12 versus 17-8-6. Which one would you rather have? Let's just go straight by the numbers.
I'd rather have 17-8-6. I think.
All right, that's Caitlin Clark.
Yeah. I'd rather have that, but I don't think it should be like 80%.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I'm not arguing that she should or shouldn't be the WNBA Rookie of the Year. I just don't think that the odds should be that much in her favor.
Right.
They're going more off the field stuff. In the NBA, the favorite for Rookie of the Year, according to ESPN Bet, is Zach Edey.
Wow.
He was last month. He was plus 2,000, and now he's plus 600. So he went from 20-1 to 6-1 almost overnight.
Mm.
And that's just because of a few games that he had in the summer league, or basically his summer league debut. Like, that seems a bit much. Alex Saar is next. Reese Shea is following up with him, and then Dalton Connect is there, who... Is that a really good last couple of games for the Lakers?
Unlike Bronny.
How much is that, though? You've mentioned before about Vegas trying to hedge. How much of that is just Zach Edey has a name and there's going to be a lot of people putting money on it?
I think there's a fair amount of
But
that.
There's also a possibility. I don't mind the bet. There's a possibility that, like, Edey has a little offensive game. Like, he's not just he has more offensive game than Lively. Like, there's a chance that he is, you know... A big mismatch problem.
The 7-4 doesn't exist.
There's a chance he grabs, you know, 8 rebounds a game.
I mean, look, there's only about a dozen people in the world that are as tall as him.
Yeah.
maybe 20, right? I mean, like, that. Who can actually guard him? There's like 20 people on the globe.
If you believe in zagging when everyone is zigging, then It could work.
It could.
We're going away totally from the big man in the league. Like, he's going to have, in the NBA in the 90s, he'd have a height mismatch advantage. Today, over versus 6'7" guys.
I mean, if he could develop a shot from 15 feet, just to go to 15 feet.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about a game changer. Like, that's going to take work. Because, I mean, he's a decent free throw shooter. He'll airball him on you, but he'll still make it quite a bit. I mean, there was a time this year where he was close to 80% from the free throw line. But like, he'll make a decent amount. He'll airball some, and he'll go through stretches where he can't make one to save his life, but then he will go on a heater.
Yeah, and I mean, some of it, like, I mean, it may be related to opportunity too, if they look at it and they think that Zach Edey's going to immediately be involved in what Memphis does offensively, or like just be immediately into the rotation and getting minutes and, you know, playing off of lobs from Ja or whatever else.
877-881-1053 in order to hit us up here on Sean, RJ, and Bobby. So that's a way to bet on the Home Run Derby and other things. Tolo Mike, who is really the ticket insider for the station, is always letting me and Bassett know what to do. He never offers me any, but he lets me know what the market is. He said there's an unbelievable amount of tickets still available in the box office at MLB.com/all-star or under the box office price, but with 20 to 25% fees on SeatGeek and StubHub for both the Derby and the game. On Saturday, for both parking and tickets, the resale tickets on StubHub and SeatGeek disappeared, dropped offline when the event started, unlike normal Ranger games when they disappeared 1 hour after the game begins. So people are hanging out at Texas Live waiting for tickets to drop. Will be left without tickets if they do not grab tickets before the start time. So if you're waiting around and lingering, this is at least Tolo Mike saying that will not happen like normal. But these are some of the ticket challenges that are out there.
Yeah, so Chop, don't just think you can sit there and try and work some deal into $100 tickets by waiting around. That's not going to happen.
Although he's sending me SeatGeek prices, okay? Section 24, row 13, $240 apiece. That doesn't sound... That's good.
Section
24, row 13.
All right, that's down the right field line.
$240 apiece. Now, that's SeatGeek before the charges, right?
Yes. On the website, on MLB.com, section 24, row 14, is $750 on MLB.com. Just to buy it straight face value.
And that's just the Derby tonight? That wouldn't be...
Just the Derby. Like, here's some of the other deals that Mike sent me. Let us know if you're going and where you're sitting. Right?
Those are good deals.
Those don't look bad.
$207 for section 127?
And if you're not going, you know where you can hear it? You can hear it right here on 105.3 The Fan and the All-Star Game.
Well done, Bobby. Well done. Thank you. All right. We are also your home of the Cowboys. Speaking of Vegas, were they toloing last week during RJ and Eric's Micah Parsons fight? We may have some evidence that they were. Next on The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If you are listening during the Expressway, you won Sebastian Maniscalco tickets. We're going to have that tomorrow and every day throughout the rest of the week starting at 7:20. But you also heard us talk about the NFL evaluators ranking of the quarterbacks. And we figured out all we know is the top five in the NFC. The list, according to the league, Matt Stafford 1, Jared Goff 2, Dak Prescott 3, Brock Purdy 4, Jordan Love 5, no Jalen Hurts in the top 5, no Kirk Cousins. That was the top 5 ESPN released of NFC quarterbacks. Well, in the commercial break, Bobby Roberto Belt, Cowboys Insider, said the full list just dropped.
It is out. And before we get into these rankings, a reminder of the voting process that Jeremy Fowler does here. He talks to executives, coaches, scouts. He has them give their 10 best players at a position. Then they compile the results, rank the candidates based on the number of top 10 votes, composite average, and dozens of interviews with research, film study, etc. In total, nearly 80 voters submitted a ballot on at least one position, and in many cases, all positions. Additional voting and follow-up calls with those surveyed help break any tie. So they have the top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL. And last week, RJ Choppy said the only question about who was going to be number one was, does anybody have the gall to vote Patrick Mahomes number two on their lists? Is what RJ wanted. So number one on this list is
Patrick Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes, of course.
And I will guess nobody had the gall to not put him one.
Choppy?
I agree. And if somebody did, I want to name names.
Someone did put him number two. That was the lowest ranking that Patrick Mahomes had on this list.
The Bills GM.
He was ranked number one last year. He is obviously highest ranking was one. His lowest ranking was number two. It does not say how many people had him down number two, but nobody had him outside the top two. But he ultimately is number one. One NFC executive said, when it's late in a meaningful game and Mahomes is playing, you just know he's going to find a way to win. That's the stage he's at that a lot of the greats get to. They figure out how to win the game and get it done. The game slowed down for him in that way. So
he has in his career.
Well, who's the... does it say how many people put him? No. It doesn't say how many people put him.
It could have been just one person.
When he is trailing by 10.
Idiot.
When he is 17 and 14 when down by 10 points or more. Which means if you lead Patrick Mahomes by 10 points, you have less than a 50% chance of winning that football game. Like, that is the best record by any quarterback all time when down by double digits.
Like, last year answered any final questions without Tyreek.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's done it with injury. He's done it without Tyreek. He's done it with the weapons. He's relied more on defense during the regular season to do it. Like, I want to know who voted him to.
The only thing that we've ever seen that seems to even slightly impact Patrick Mahomes is if the offensive line is decimated, he's not able to freelance the same sort of way. That's the only thing that's ever slowed him down.
All right. Would you like to just combo on this and guess that Allen is two? Or do you have another person at two that the league picked?
Oh, yeah. I don't think it's... I would put Allen two. But I think the league was more likely to put Lamar or Burrow there.
So give us a name.
I'll go Lamar.
I'll say Josh.
Both of you are wrong. It is Joe Burrow from the Cincinnati Bengals. Says Burrow hasn't exactly hurt his standing in the Pantheon since last year's voting. He's still considered one of the game's very best and won a close race for number two, but his growing injury file has planted a seed of doubt. His highest ranking in this ballot was two. So he did not get that vote or two that didn't go to Patrick
Lamar's
Mahomes.
Lamar's getting that vote.
It went to Joe Burrow, or it did not go to Joe Burrow. So he is number two, exactly where he was last year. Number three on the list.
Allen.
Josh Allen, who did get a number one ranking from somebody's list.
There you go.
So here we've got the note here. It was one person. He received the only first place vote that didn't go to Mahomes, yet was outside of the top five for several voters. So several voters are down on Josh Allen and have him outside the top five. His lowest ranking was six.
Is the quote in there? I'm only asking Bobby so we can keep the guessing game alive. Is the quote in there of why someone took him over Pat? Does it say what the reason is?
It does not. Okay. In fact, the only one here, it says that he leaves you wanting more a little bit. But if you're picking who you want to have lead your team, he's going to be second or third for most people. They do compare him to Luka Doncic. In this, at least Jeremy Fowler does. He says Allen is a Luka Doncic level volume scorer. No, a volume scorer. Oh. His 173 total touchdowns since 2020 are easily the league best, and Allen is the only quarterback in NFL history with five seasons of at least 20 passing touchdowns and five rushing touchdowns.
Will the NFC have three quarterbacks in this?
Let's keep going.
Yeah.
All right. But we're going to have to find out. Number four.
Lamar.
Lamar Jackson is number four on this list, as high as two, as low as five. So nobody on this had him outside their top five in this. Last year, he was ranked seventh It says that Jackson is undeniable after winning a second MVP after five seasons as a dual threat quarterback in Greg Roman's system. The Ravens reversed course, bringing in play caller Todd Monken to help maximize Jackson's game from the pocket. One NFC executive said how he came in with everything stuck to that stigma as a runner. That sticks with you as a pro until you prove him wrong. That's not fair, but that's the way it's been with him. There wasn't any doubt who the best player in the league was last year. The number five quarterback in the NFL. It's all AFC so far.
It's what?
It's all AFC so far through the first four.
I have two AFCs, or is it Stafford?
Yeah, I think it's Stroud.
I'll say Stroud as well.
It is Matthew Stafford, number five. Somebody had him ranked as high as three. Everybody had him in their top ten. Nobody had him outside the top ten at all.
It's amazing, too, the back and forth with Lamar.
Yeah.
The yo-yoing of Lamar. Top 10, not top 10. Every offseason it changes. Welcome to that world, Jalen Hurts.
One high-ranking official with an NFL team said he elevates the play of those around him. Puka Nacua is a good player, but he's not the same guy without Stafford. He helps those guys reach their potential. Another NFC executive said the arm strength hasn't left him. He can still make every throw to every part of the field. So, number six on this list, which so far we have Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Matthew Stafford.
Is it CJ or Herbert?
Oh, I don't think Herbert's on it.
Okay. CJ, then.
I think it's either CJ or this is Goff.
Who is CJ Stroud?
No, Justin Herbert. Who was ranked fifth last year. He was ranked as high as third by some people. But like, here's the thing. Justin Herbert's more deserving to be on this list than Matthew Stafford is. They say big, strong, fast, powerful arm, one AFC personnel evaluator said, will stare down some targets and try to make some hero-type plays at times, holding the ball too long and throwing into tight windows, but he has everything you want, touch, velocity, size, athletic ability. So Justin Herbert is number six.
You know, this is where... I'll never side with that. Elite quarterbacks do not get hindered by coaches.
Okay.
They overcome coaches.
He threw 20 touchdowns last year. Yeah, he played in 13 games.
Elite quarterbacks make the playoffs every year.
He also never has a completion percentage below 65%. The QBR was a 64.
It's not bad. It's not a bad QBR at all.
But he gets the nice guy, doesn't cause waves, a market no one cares about, a fan base no one cares about, including their own, and the tools. He's still getting the benefit of the tools.
He has the tools. He has everything. If you're building a prototype quarterback, I mean, he's on your short list.
CJ has to be next.
CJ Stroud is next at number seven. And one person ranked him as high as two, that he was the second best quarterback in the NFL behind Patrick Mahomes. Stroud appeared on nearly 90% of the ballots, and a few voters had him in the top three. One NFC scout said he's as good as anybody, honestly. He's got to do it again, but the arm talent combined with taking care of the ball and the ability to process was impressive. So we are seven names into this. There's one NFC quarterback. We have 8, 9, 10 left, and we already know Dak is the third NFC quarterback, so it's getting a little tight here for Dak, potentially. Number eight on this list.
Is it Goff, RJ? Because we know Goff is two in the NFC.
We do know that. I wonder how they're going to grade Rodgers and Tua.
Oh, that's a good one. I'll go Goff.
I'll go Goff as well.
No. This is AFC.
Tua?
Nope.
Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers is number eight. They can't let him go. They just can't let this guy go. He's 40.
He has
a torn Achilles.
He might be good.
Yeah, he was great running that American flag on the field last year for the Jets. Old and injured is not the typical description of a top 10 quarterback, but one AFC exec said he's probably fringe top 10 at this point, but he still has the rare ability to throw the football. That hasn't gone away. I think he's got a major opportunity to lift the Jets and show what he can still do.
What was his peak?
Somebody had COVID. Him as high as three. Somebody had him as high as three.
What was the term during COVID that he used that none of us knew?
Inoculated.
No. Immunized. I'm immunized.
What's inoculated?
Inoculated is...
immunized. He did use immunized.
You found a new way to get messed up over the weekend I've never heard of. I got inoculated.
No, that's inoculation chart. That's what when you get all your vaccines.
If we have a number eight, if number nine here is an AFC quarterback, we know... Dak Prescott is not in the top 10. So number nine here is...
All right. So let me get inside the evil media mind. If you want more response, they released this on Monday, by the way, so all of us in the first fake shows and TV can all evaluate throughout the whole week. If you want it talked about more, do you have Dak at 10 or not, and not in the top 10?
I would think not in the top 10. So your candidates could be.
It's Goff to a Dak, some combo.
Goff to a Dak, unless they throw a Lawrence curveball in there, right. Or do they go, has to be AFC. Do they go Deshaun? No.
No.
Can't, right?
No, Watson. Goff to a Dak, it's Goff.
It is Jared Goff. One person ranked him as high as the fifth best quarterback in the NFL. It says that one quote from an NFL coordinator says he's the best in the NFL at throwing into zone coverage windows. I've shown young quarterbacks tape of him and how he throws with anticipation. So Jared Goff is ninth on this list. Highest ranking was 5. Lowest ranking was out of the top 10. This is after being an honorable mention last year. So number 10 on this list.
This is Dak, Tua, or Lawrence. I'm just trying to think inside the slimy minds of these people on what they did. I think having him at 10 or outside the top 10 is kind of similar to, you know, feedback. But outside probably makes more noise. You got a gut.
I don't know how you can't put him in the top 10.
I'm going to say Dak 10. We say Dak 10.
Dak 10. Final answer.
Dak Prescott is 10th on the list. His highest ranking was 7th. And after finishing second in the MVP, he drops from 9th to 10th this year. He was 9th on the list last year. Here are the quotes that they have from personnel people. One NFC executive said, he always does well enough to be in the top 10, but never gets over the hump. He makes all the throws. He's playing the position at a high level, but something's missing. There's a lot of factors in that, from the running game, play calling, defense, and Dallas hasn't won in a long while. But certain guys are going to elevate their team late in the game, and Dak doesn't seem to do that. One NFL personnel director said he's lacking that high-end ceiling, plays the position really well, but not an elite athlete and passer that Mahomes and Allen are. They need to support him in those big matchups. He's really good, but not quite good enough to elevate the entire team in those matchups.
It's all fair.
Yeah.
Nothing unfair in that.
I don't have a problem. I would not put him behind Rodgers. I would not put him behind CJ Stroud. Stroud's had a good year, but it's 1 year. I need to see more of that, right? I would not put him behind Herbert. I mean, the guy never makes the playoffs. He never puts it together. Yes, his talent's better than Dak.
Even Dak won with Kellen Moore.
Right. And I don't know at this stage that I put him behind Stafford, but...
I wouldn't. I put him in front of Stafford.
So I think...
And I'd take him over... I'd probably take him over Goff.
The rest of the list outside the top 10, because they stack these... They call them honorable mentions, but they're in order. Brock Purdy, 11.
This is in order?
This is order, because it's Brock Purdy, 11, Jordan Love, 12... Wow. Jalen Hurts, 13.
Jalen Hurts.
Tua, 14. Kirk Cousins, 15. Trevor Lawrence, 16.
Good.
And then it's also receiving votes, Kyler Murray and Baker Mayfield. So Tyreek Hill had a vote. How about that? Good for him. So
877-881-1053. Frank LaFranco, injury attorney, text line with the quarterback list. Everyone will be talking about today from Jeremy Fowler and ESPN. Let's talk about what's been happening in Arlington at the All-Star Village with the Derby and the game in town. Will do it with the KNC Masterpiece after this.
Here's the pitch. A swing and a drive deep to right field. Back goes Lou Profeto at the wall. That ball is history. It's a two-home run game for Josh Smith.
Eric Nadell with the call as the Rangers head into the All-Star break the right way. We got crosstalk with Reggie in for Kevin and Corey.
Reggie.
Taking the place for two of them. That's powerful.
I'm not doing both their jobs though. They don't pay me enough for that. But I'll try and give you what Kevin does in some ways.
Reggie and Mike, and I know that you're teasing the show.
Yeah, I am teasing the show coming up today. We'll revisit some of Mike's experiences during All-Star weekend, doing some of the All-Star things as a legend, a Texas Rangers legend out there. Mm. But also, we'll talk about obviously the big weekend the Rangers had, and also as well. What's something that you love that you just can't engage in anymore? Because we got a EA College Football 25 coming through, and I used to spend an ungodly amount of time doing that in college, and I don't think I can get back in. I don't think I can do it.
So do you play any video games?
I'll play from time to time. I'm big on MLB The Show right now, 24. Been doing a lot of that over the last couple of weeks. But even then, I'll play that game for maybe like 45 minutes, and I'm like, I should be doing something better with my time.
So
I thought
the college video game was coming out on the 19th.
Well, it does. But the deluxe edition, if you purchase the deluxe edition, which is a pre-order, and it's also like way more expensive, right? It's like $140 or something.
Something like that. It is more expensive.
You get it today. So you get like a 4-day head start.
Who did you play with? Who was your team?
Well, I revived the football team for the University of Texas at Arlington. So I made sure to get them gentlemen going and win some national championships and bring them back to the Metroplex.
So you created a team.
Nav up.
That's right, yeah.
Okay, now have you played with a current team or a team that was as is on the video game? Who was it?
I think I'd probably bring back to prominence, the prominence that Sean Lewis couldn't get them to, Kent State. Oh, yeah. let's get them going and see if the Big Ten regrets not looking towards Kent State's direction.
What was your big video game? You were hooked on one.
RBI Baseball or Tecmo Bowl?
RBI Baseball is good.
You can't lose with Tecmo Bowl, right?
No. Oh, great. Tecmo Bowl. Well, you can't lose?
Well, I mean, like, lose playing Tecmo Bowl. That's a good
example. It's a good use of
time. I was wondering who was your cheat code. Was it Bo? I mean, is Bo the number one cheat code for that game?
Well, Bo, it has to be. Bo was a good one. Walter Payton. Lawrence Taylor was a good cheat
Lawrence
code, too.
Yeah, Lawrence Taylor rushing off the edge. He was fast.
That was a good one.
Did you get into college football?
I did, but I will say I stopped around 2003. I remember Cliff Floyd thought he was great at it, the former baseball player you guys have had on. And so when I was up with the Mets, I could beat him every time. I would play with the University of Texas, and I would run crossing routes. So I'd have Chris Sims as the quarterback, and then you'd have Roy Williams. I forget all the wide receivers. Like, you'll probably
remember.
B.J.
Johnson. Yeah. Does like that.
Yeah, but those guys would have about three plays that I felt like were unstoppable. And then you had, I think, Cedric Benson as the running back, who mm-hmm. was pretty good.
Yeah, man.
So I would use University of Texas and know that there were like three cheat plays that I knew I could always go to for first downs or big plays.
Think about how much better you could have been, too, if you would have put Major Applewhite in instead of Chris
on
Sims.
On the game, though, Chris Sims, they had rated way higher.
Like the Big 12.
Threw my ottoman.
It's kind of like, isn't Colorado rated way higher on this?
Yeah. They're like 16th. They're ahead of Missouri. Missouri's a top 10 team.
And they have Shador as like the second best quarterback in the game. His awareness is super high.
Yeah, super high awareness. I threw my ottoman across the room. My roommate, he just kept nickel and diming me with Nebraska.
Oh, yeah.
And I hated the option. I hated Nebraska. And he just kept, like, you go for him fourth down. It doesn't matter what I did. I could not stop the option. It was a big farce. And finally, I had enough. I just threw the ottoman across the room.
I had a cousin who broke his PlayStation because he had gotten picked off for like the third time against the computer playing college football, and he jumped up and said, "This bleeping thing's cheating," and he stomped on the top of it and destroyed the PlayStation in the process.
The game do be cheating, though.
I've broken a lot of stuff playing video games.
It'll glitch on you, man. It'll glitch.
More than anything else, I think I've rage broken things playing video games.
Without giving away too much, the All-Star, when are you guys talking about the All-Star experience and everything? Right off the jump, Reggie?
I think we're talking Rangers first.
Yeah, we're talking Rangers right out the gate, but I think we'll circle back around to that maybe at noon as well.
Okay, perfect. Back. I like it. What's it been like out there?
It's been awesome. This is a thing that was here in 95, and I remember going as a 17-year-old high school kid, and so it's back in our Metroplex. So I'd say if you're not going to the All-Star Village, and I know it's here today and tomorrow, if you didn't go Saturday and Sunday, look, this is one of those things that it's not going to come back for 30 more years approximately. 20 to 30 years from now, we'll get the All-Star game again most likely because we do have the indoor facility to have it, but this is one of those things that, especially if you have kids that kind of like baseball, you can go out there and see legends. You can go out there and be on the old baseball field, Choctaw. I call it still the ballpark in Arlington, but you can take batting practice there. They have a batting practice area like with four cages. They have all kinds of different things to do. Yeah, you can take pictures, you can get autographs, but there's a lot of interactive things. There's a lot of like art to look at, like a kind of MLB.
Jerry and Gene Jones collection?
No. but it's there's just so much to do. You have the indoor at EA Sports, so there's indoor stuff at the old convention center. EA Sports,
the esports convention, esports center.
Esports. Yes, and then
in the game.
It is in the game. The old ballpark where they have a lot of stuff going on too. If you've never seen, I didn't know they did this, but they kind of redid the old clubhouse in the ballpark in Arlington. So you can go walk through there, and they have different things of like the AL championship trophies and different things from what happened in that ballpark. And then they have all kind of the 30 or so or 40 or so best players. They have their lockers like backup with a jersey and different things in there to represent Pudge Rodriguez or Rafael Palmeiro or Juan Gonzalez, whoever it is that played and played well in that stadium. But the one thing that I wanted to say is off of that, I got to do yesterday and Saturday as, I know, a legend. I know I'm not. I get it. Like, there are some people in line where they're like, hey, there's a few more people. And they're like, no, we don't want.
Only a legend up here.
We don't want this. We want Josh genius. Hamilton. But I would say this. When it comes to when I'm out there, people are just coming to me and just saying how much. This is great to hear because there are haters. How much they love me on the station, and they just think, like, because of Baseball Nuggets, I listen to 105.3 The Fan, and because of the baseball coverage that you give that nobody else gives, that's the reason I listen to the station. And I would say there were hundreds of people that when they took their picture with me,
hundreds
more were
dozens of them
more were about me being on this station than it was about me being a baseball player. When I did a question and answer thing for 30 minutes, a lot of the people there, yes, they asked baseball questions, but you could hear people yell Tolo or on your face or they would ask me questions about being on 105.3 The Fan and what is it like doing that. So how tough is it at times criticizing current players when you were a player and you knew that you made mistakes? And so I'm like, it's a dance that you have to balance. And I had to get better at that because I was going to be a guy that wasn't going to say everything was perfect all the time. I was, when mistakes happen, I'm going to talk about those mistakes. And I think that I've gotten pretty much perfect at making sure that I point out the mistake of the player, let's say on the Rangers, but without being super critical of the person, because I do have a job here. I have a job with the Texas Rangers. I have a job with Bally's. And so a lot of people out there were just, it felt good to feel the love of, like, a lot of people. If we're at a station event, I get it. They're there for the station. Like, we're not going to get people out there like, I've never, what's going on? Like, there are most loyal fans that are going out there because of a station event, but this isn't a station event at all.
Right.
And so all the people that are going out there for baseball, and there's 20% so far during the weekend that weren't from our Metroplex that have come in to the Metroplex for the All-Star weekend. But for all the people there, and the other thing that's cool, the former players, whether it's Pete O'Brien, Bump Wills, Danny Darwin, Ellis Valentine, all of these guys,
Luis
are like, they're like, dude, like, what you do on The Fan is amazing.
Wow.
It's great baseball coverage. Cool. It's the reason that we listen is because there's real baseball talk that is happening in our Metroplex that you can't get anywhere else. And so it is really cool just to hear all of the people just talk about KNC Masterpiece, talk about me, talk about the station, and just say the baseball coverage, especially because it's a baseball event, is just superior. And thank you for doing radio, because there's not many baseball players that get hired to do this and that can do it.
Have you ever heard somebody so humbly just talk about how beloved they are?
How do they feel about dropping your back shoulder when you hit?
Yes. Now, did Kevin or Corey's name get mentioned second most?
Ooh, that's an interesting question there.
They would usually just say KNC.
Them, yeah, KNC. Yeah. Group them all together. Them. Where were you Saturday, and how did you react to the Trump event? Falling, according to CNN.
It was a fall. It was a tough fall.
Is that real? Was that a real?
I don't know.
Is that an AI headline?
I do know that I turned CNN on right immediately after, and I do know that they watched. They said it took him about an hour to say that he was shot. They said, oh, he was believed to have been shot, and then maybe the blood was from him falling.
Okay.
They just refused to say it.
Okay.
For like an hour.
I think at
were
the
time. Playing college football?
I wasn't. Okay. I was either playing the show or watching The Sopranos, which I'm trying to watch for the first time ever.
Oh, where are you in it?
I am in season 3. So I've gone through 1 and 2. I immediately realized and recognized how this is a beloved show. You can see it. And I did not anticipate how much comedy was in this show coming in.
Like, it's a great show.
I am enjoying it quite a bit. Yes.
I felt season 2 was the best season. I felt.
Interesting. Okay. Because that was not, I immediately put season 1 over season 2, but I do need to reflect on that a little bit. And of course, I'm still very close to that. But I was doing that, and then I got a text message that just didn't make sense. And I hopped on Twitter and I was like, things are happening. Yeah. Things are occurring.
And President Trump just texted
Breaking
Mike.
Breaking news. Yeah, Donald Trump just texted me. I don't know if it's because, is this how our phone picks up things?
My phone doesn't have it, Mike.
I literally just got, I am Donald Trump, and I will make, I don't know, I'm not going to keep saying that because you guys will play it as a deal. I was just thinking, no, don't do that. But it's like, I'm like, no, stop, end. Is not that like I'm for those... or against. I'm not making an opinion on for or against right now. But I'm like, how does it know to do that?
Like, it's like you got a text service. You're on a text service?
I don't know. Hit stop and end. I'm never going to donate a dime to any, unless my daughters or daughter or sons run for an office, I will not donate a dime.
That's my money.
To any political person, any political party. Hey, do your thing. I understand there's some good people out there that do those jobs. There's some really bad people out there that do those jobs. But I'm not giving a dime to political parties.
Did you go headfirst into the coverage, or you're like,
somewhere in the middle, struggle. Like, I definitely wanted to get an idea of what was happening.
Yeah.
But I wasn't diving into particularly like where we get into the partisan kind of conversation of it. I was like, I'm not really down for that per se. But yeah, like I wanted to know what was happening. I was very intrigued because obviously a lot of theories kind of floating around it. And just finding out what happened, and obviously if there were some casualties, which we unfortunately found out that there was. So, yeah, just as a news story, it was intriguing.
Would Kevin and Corey have had it on the run sheet today?
No.
I don't think so.
No.
Okay.
Corey would have found a way to like kind of point at it a few times during the show, but no, I don't think they
put it on the show. So Kevin is more apt to stay away, which surprises me. I thought he had some stones.
I thought he had
a backbone.
Yeah.
I think that he'd stay away from it, but...
I mean, they're both scared to do radio on the scariest week of Talk radio.
That is true. Yeah.
Well said, Mike.
They got scared of this moment.
What a perfect way to end
it. Of the worst week in sports.
The ESPYs.
Could you say it was last week, since we had...
Here's the pitch. A swing and a drive, deep to right field. Back goes Lou Profito at the wall. That ball is history. It's a two-home run game for Josh Smith.
Eric Nadel with the call as the Rangers head into the All-Star break the right way. We got crosstalk with Reggie in for Kevin and Corey.
Taking
the place for two of them. That's powerful.
I'm not doing both their jobs, though. They don't pay me enough for that. But I'll try and give you what Kevin does in some ways.
Reggie and Mike, and I know that you're teasing the show.
Yeah, I am teasing the show coming up today. We'll revisit some of Mike's experiences during All-Star weekend, doing some of the All-Star things as a legend, a Texas Rangers legend out there. But also, we'll talk about obviously the big weekend the Rangers had, and also as well, what's something that you love that you just can't engage in anymore? Because we got a EA College Football 25 coming through, and I used to spend an ungodly amount of time doing that in college, and I don't think I can get back in. I don't think I can do it.
So do you play any video games?
I'll play from time to time. Like, I'm big on MLB The Show right now, 24. Been doing a lot of that over the last couple of weeks. But even then, I'll play that game for maybe like 45 minutes, and I'm like, I should be doing something better with my time.
So
right
I thought
now.
The college video game was coming out on the 19th.
Well, it does. But the deluxe edition, if you purchase the deluxe edition, which is a pre-order, and it's also like way more expensive, right? It's like $140 or something.
Something like that. It is more expensive.
You get it today. So you get like a 4-day head start.
Who did you play with? Who was your team?
Well, I revived the football team for the University of Texas at Arlington. So I made sure to get them gentlemen going and win some national championships and bring them back to the Metroplex.
So you created a team.
Nav up.
That's right, yeah.
Okay, now have you played with a current team or a team that was as is on the video game? Who was it?
I think I'd probably bring back to prominence that Sean Lewis couldn't get them to, Kent State.
Oh, yeah.
let's get them going and see if the Big Ten regrets not looking towards Kent State's direction.
What was your big video game? You're hooked on one.
RBI Baseball or Tecmo Bowl?
RBI Baseball's okay. Good.
You can't lose with Tecmo Bowl, right? No.
Oh, great. Tecmo Bowl. Well, you can't lose?
Well, I mean, like, lose playing Tecmo Bowl. That's a good
example.
It's a good use
of
time.
I was wondering, who was your cheat code? Was it Bo? I mean, is Bo the number one cheat code for that game?
Well, it has to be.
Bo was a good one. Walter Payton. Lawrence Taylor was a good cheat
Lawrence
code, too.
Lawrence Taylor rushing off the edge. He was fast.
That was a good one.
Did you get into college football?
I did, but I will say I stopped around 2003. I remember, like, Cliff Floyd thought he was great at it. The former baseball player you guys have had on. And So when I was up with the Mets, I could beat them every time. I would play with the University of Texas, and I would run crossing routes. So I'd have Chris Sims as the quarterback, and then you'd have Roy Williams. I forget all the wide receivers. Like, Bobby, you'll probably
remember. Johnson.
Yeah. Does like that. Yeah, but those guys would have about three plays that I felt like were unstoppable. And then you had, I think, Cedric Benson as the running back, who was pretty good.
Yeah, man.
So I would use University of Texas and know that there were like three cheat plays that I knew I could always go to for first downs or big plays.
Think about how much better you could have been, too, if you would have put Major Applewhite in instead of Chris
on
Sims.
On the game, though, Chris Sims, they had rated way higher.
Not like reality, like the Big 12 title.
It's kind of like, isn't Colorado rated way higher on this?
Yeah, they're like 16th. They're ahead of Missouri. Missouri's a top 10 team.
And they have Shador as like the second best quarterback in the game. His awareness is super high. Yeah,
super high awareness. I threw my ottoman across the room. My roommate, he just kept nickel and diming me with Nebraska.
Oh yeah,
and I hated the option. I hated Nebraska, and he just kept like you go for him fourth down. It doesn't matter what I did, I could not stop the option. It was a big farce, and finally, I had enough. I just threw the ottoman across the room.
I had a cousin who broke his PlayStation because he had gotten picked off for like the third time against the computer playing college football, and he jumped up and said, "This bleeping thing's cheating," and he stomped on the top of it and destroyed the PlayStation in the process.
The game do be cheating, though.
I've broken a lot of stuff playing video games.
It'll glitch on you, man. It'll glitch.
More than anything else, I think I've rage broken things playing video games.
Without giving away too much, the All-Star, when are you guys talking about the All-Star experience and everything? Right off the jump, Reggie?
I think we're talking Rangers first.
Yeah, we're talking Rangers right out the gate, but I think we'll circle back around to that maybe at noon as well.
Okay, perfect. Back. I like it. What's it been like out there?
It's been awesome. This is a thing that was here in 95, and I remember going as a 17-year-old high school kid, and so it's back in our Metroplex. So I'd say if you're not going to the All-Star Village, and I know it's here today and tomorrow, if you didn't go Saturday and Sunday, look, this is one of those things that it's not going to come back for 30 more years approximately. 20 to 30 years from now, we'll get the All-Star game again most likely because we do have the indoor facility to have it, but this is one of those things that, especially if you have kids that kind of like baseball, you can go out there and see legends. You can go out there and be on the old baseball field, Choctaw. I call it still the ballpark in Arlington, but you can take batting practice there. They have a batting practice area like with four cages. They have all kinds of different things to do. Yeah, you can take pictures, you can get autographs, but there's a lot of interactive things. There's a lot of like art to look at, like a kind of MLB.
Jerry and Gene Jones collection?
No. but it's there's just so much to do. You have the indoor at EA Sports, so there's indoor stuff at the old convention center. EA Sports,
the esports convention, esports center.
Esports. Yes, and then
in the game.
The old ballpark where they have a lot of stuff going on too. If you've never seen, I didn't know they did this, but they kind of redid the old clubhouse in the ballpark in Arlington. So you can go walk through there, and they have different things of like the AL championship trophies and different things from what happened in that ballpark. And then they have all kind of the 30 or so or 40 or so best players. They have their lockers like back up with a jersey and different things in there to represent Pudge Rodriguez or Rafael Palmeiro or Juan Gonzalez, whoever it is that played and played well in that stadium. But the one thing that I wanted to say is off of that, I got to do yesterday and Saturday as, I know, a legend. I know I'm not. I get it. Like, there are some people in line where they're like, hey, there's a few more people. And they're like, no, we don't want.
Only a legend up here.
We don't want this. We want Josh Hamilton. But I would say this. When it comes to when I'm out there, people are just coming to me and just saying how much. This is great to hear because there are haters. How much they love me on the station, and they just think like because of Baseball Nuggets, I listen to 105.3 The Fan, and because of the baseball coverage that you give that nobody else gives, that's the reason I listen to the station. And I would say there were hundreds of people that when they took their picture with me,
hundreds
more were
dozens of them.
More were about me being on this station than it was about me being a baseball player. When I did a question and answer thing, for 30 minutes, a lot of the people there, yes, they asked baseball questions, but you could hear people yell Tolo or on your face or they would ask me questions about being on 105.3 The Fan and what is it like doing that? So how tough is it at times? criticizing current players when you were a player and you knew that you made mistakes. And so I'm like, it's a dance that you have to balance. And I had to get better at that because I was going to be a guy that wasn't going to say everything was perfect all the time. I was, when mistakes happen, I'm going to talk about those mistakes. And I think that I've gotten pretty much perfect at making sure that I point out the mistake of the player, let's say on the Rangers, but without being super critical of the person, because I do have a job here. I have a job with the Texas Rangers. I have a job with Bally's. And so a lot of people out there were just, it felt good to feel the love of like a lot of people. If we're at a station event, I get it. They're there for the station. Like, we're not going to get people out there like, I've never, what's going on? Like, there are most loyal fans that are going out there because of a station event. But this isn't a station event at all.
Right.
And so all the people that are going out there for baseball, and there's 20% so far during the weekend that weren't from our Metroplex that have come in to the Metroplex for the All-Star weekend. But for all the people there, and the other thing that's cool, the former players, whether it's Pete O'Brien, Bump Wills, Danny Darwin, Ellis Valentine, all of these guys
Luis
are like, they're like, dude, like what you do on The Fan is amazing.
Wow.
It's great baseball coverage. It's the reason that we listen is because there's real baseball talk that is happening in our Metroplex that you can't get anywhere else. And so it is really cool just to hear all of the people just talk about KNC Masterpiece, talk about me, talk about the station, and just say the baseball coverage, especially because it's a baseball event, is just superior. And thank you for doing radio, because there's not many baseball players that get hired to do this and that can do it.
Have you ever heard somebody so humbly just talk about how beloved they are?
How do they feel about dropping your back shoulder when you hit?
Yes. Now, did Kevin or Corey's name get mentioned second most?
Ooh. That's an interesting question there.
They would usually just say KNC.
Them, yeah, KNC. Yeah. Group them all together. Them. Where were you Saturday, and how did you react to the Trump event? Him falling, according to CNN.
It was a fall. It was a tough fall.
Is that real? Was that a real?
I don't know.
Is that an AI headline?
I do know that so I turned CNN on right immediately after, and I do know that they watched. They said it took him about an hour to say that he was shot. They said, oh, he was believed to have been shot. And then maybe the blood was from him falling.
Okay.
They just refused to say it.
Okay.
For like an hour.
I think at
were
the
time. Playing college football?
I wasn't. Okay. I was either playing the show or watching The Sopranos, which I'm trying to watch for the first time ever.
Oh, where are you in it?
I am in season 3. So I've gone through 1 and 2. I immediately realized and recognized how this is a beloved show. You can see it. And I did not anticipate how much comedy was in this show coming in. So I
right
have
now
enjoyed
you're feeling
it.
Like it's a great show.
I am enjoying it quite a bit. Yeah.
I felt season 2 was the best season. I felt.
Interesting. Okay. Because that was not, I immediately put season 1 over season 2, but I do need to reflect on that a little bit. And of course, I'm still very close to that. But I was doing that. And then I got a text message that just didn't make sense. And I hopped on Twitter and I was like, Oh, things are happening. Yeah. Things are occurring.
And President Trump just texted
Breaking
Mike.
Breaking news, yeah. Donald Trump just texted me. I don't know if it's because, is this how our phone picks up things?
My phone doesn't have it, Mike.
I literally just got, I am Donald Trump and I will make, I don't know, I'm not going to keep saying that because you guys will play it as a deal. I was just thinking, no, don't do that. But it's like, I'm like, no, stop, end.
Is
not that
like
I'm for or against. I'm not making an opinion on for or against right now. But I'm like, how does it know to do that?
Like, it's like you got a text service. You're on a text service?
I don't know. Hit stop and end. I'm never going to donate a dime to any, unless my daughter or sons run for an office, I will not donate a dime.
That's my money.
To any political person, any political party. Hey, do your thing. I understand there's some good people out there that do those jobs. There's some really bad people out there that do those jobs. But I'm not giving a dime to political parties.
Did you go head first into the coverage? Or you're like,
Somewhere in the middle. I definitely wanted to get an idea of what was happening.
Yeah.
But I wasn't diving into particularly like where we get into the partisan kind of conversation of it. I was like, I'm not really down for that per se. But I wanted to know what was happening. I was very intrigued because obviously a lot of theories kind of floating around it and just finding out what happened, and obviously if there were some casualties, which we unfortunately found out that there was. So yeah, just as a news story, it was intriguing.
Would Kevin and Corey have had it on the run sheet today?
No.
I don't think so.
No.
Okay.
Corey would have found a way to like kind of point at it a few times during the show, but no, I don't think they
put it on the show. So Kevin is more apt to stay away. Which surprises me. I thought he had some stones.
I thought he had more.
Thought he had a backbone.
Yeah.
I think that he'd stay away from it, but
I mean, they're both scared to do radio on the scariest week of talk radio.
That is true. Yeah. Yeah.
Well right, said, Mike. What
got,
a perfect
they
way.
Got scared of this moment.
What a perfect way to end
of
it.
Of the worst week in sports.
Well,
I mean, the ESPYs.
Could you say it was last week since we have the All-Star events?
But usually
but
Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday are very like football's dead right now, right? Next week. Get teams reporting to camps and everything.
Yeah.
But basketball's dead right now. Free agency, draft, all that's over. So this is always the toughest week, especially today's easy. By the time we get to Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, it's tough. And Kevin and Corey couldn't handle it.
I'm super excited for that.
Yep. Might need Movid.
Pepe is back tomorrow from Italy. We'll recap the Derby, get you set for the All-Star Game with a Rangers edition of High Low and another giveaway during the Expressway. KNC Masterpiece next on The Fan.